Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories, where we play tales to take you away from today. On the program today, we have a story from Adrian that sent chills down my spine. He encountered a counting ghost.
Impossible.
Maybe so, maybe not. Sylvia Schultz is back with more scary stories, answers an email, and much more.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And finally, we visit a moment in time with Taylor Grant that I think you're going to enjoy.
Sounds good.
And it all begins with this 5-minute mystery.
Another 5-minute mystery.
This 5-minute mystery is being brought to you by misinformation. Have you ever been told something that you truly believe to be true, only to find out that it was incorrect and then you felt lied to on an epic basis? No? That's truly amazing.
Hello, Emily.
Carl, it's you.
It's reassuring to see that you haven't forgotten me, my dear.
Where have you been all these years, Carl?
Frankly, Emily, I've been trying to lose the memory of our 10 years of marriage. But I must admit, I haven't succeeded.
Go away. Leave this house. This time, never come back.
I have no intentions of returning after this visit, my dear wife. You see, I'm going to kill you.
You're mad.
I really can't resist the situation. It has all the elements. A woman alone in a house in the country, a summer storm, a perfect motive, and an ingenious alibi.
Stay away from me, Carl. Don't touch me!
Don't run away, Emily. Come here.
You must have had quite a ride here in the storm.
Yes, Inspector, but I wanted to report my wife's death as quickly as possible.
I understand you've been away several years.
My wife and I separated 10 years ago.
How'd you happen to come back?
Well, that's rather a strange story, Inspector. It seems that my wife is quite frightened of doctors and refuses to consult them. About 5 days ago, I received a letter from her that she felt she was dying. Well, my wife has always been a strange sort of woman. I hesitate to say it so bluntly, but I'm certain you're aware of the reputation she had here in the village.
No disrespect intended, of course, but she was known as being slightly eccentric.
Yes. By the way, when can you come out to the house to write a report on the suicide?
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to wait till the storm subsides a bit, but I realize you want this whole embarrassing affair disposed of as quickly as possible, so if you'll allow me to have the details, I can begin my report.
Good. Well, I arrived at the house about 8 o'clock tonight. I found my wife in her bedroom. She was bleeding from several small wounds. She told me that they were self-inflicted.
Didn't you stop the bleeding?
Yes, but she only laughed and said there was nothing I could do. You see, she revealed to me that she suffered from hemophilia. It would be impossible to stop the flow of blood. There were too many wounds.
The storm seems to be letting up. I think we'll be able to make it to the house now. I must warn you that anything you say will be used against you in your trial. I'm accusing you of the murder of your wife.
What flaw did the inspector find in Carl's story? In just a moment, we'll know, but first...
Quite the creepy and gruesome opening on this one. That guy sure did hold a grudge, and boy, that was some alibi. I am glad to see that the inspector was not fooled by it, but what was it that tipped him off? I think it might be the whole hemophilia thing. What do you say we go find out?
And now, back to our story.
Carl, you murdered your wife, and with one of the most gruesome methods I've ever encountered. Your story stamped itself as a lie when you told me your wife said she suffered from hemophilia. For your information, my friend, women never suffer from the affliction of hemophilia. They may transmit it to male members of their family by means of heredity, but they themselves are never affected by it. The blood on your hands won't wash off easily.
Well, there you have it, the misinformation that I spoke of. Women can have the dreaded disease of hemophilia. So the detective is wrong. While it is quite rare in women, if both parents have it, it can be passed to a daughter. However, in this case, we know the guy did it because we heard it. And I, for one, hope that justice is done. This mystery was brought to you by Misinformation. I've received a lot of emails asking about my views on the coronavirus and being locked down. One person was even critical of the fact that I don't talk about it very much on the show. I would like to answer that person with this. I'm no expert, and I'm not really sure I understand all the facts anyway, so I really don't have anything to say. Also, it's my job to take you away from today. And that means leaving the things that we know and understand behind us. Know that you can come here and not hear about troubling times. I'm sure we get enough of that already. Thank you for all your comments and emails. They do mean a lot to me. Now, let's listen to this week's Audible. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle, whatever you have. You probably can listen to Audible on it. So what am I listening to right now? The Singularity Trap by Dennis E. Taylor. It's brought to life by the award-winning narrator, Ray Porter. The Singularity Trap is a thrilling adventure full of drama and action on a truly cosmic scale. Ivan Pritchard was determined to give his wife and children a better life back home. He ventures to the edge of known space to join the crew of the Mad Astra as an asteroid miner. Here is a sample from the book.
1 minute to launch.
Ivan gripped the chair arms even tighter. The pain in his fingers penetrated his panic, and he struggled to unclench his hands and slow his breathing. He looked at the arms of his blue coverall, relieved that the cloth was still dry. If he couldn't get a grip soon, the sight of a sopping wet uniform would only encourage the other crew members to more of what they apparently thought was witty commentary. And anyway, his funk made no logical sense. The Sling had been launching shuttles into orbit with no major incidents for almost 40 years. Technically, this was safer than air travel. And he was going into space. This should be fun.
Hey, noob. You aren't gonna have a jammer, are you?
Ivan glanced to his left at Tennyson Davies sitting across the center aisle. Ten, a beefy, florid Texan, was a veteran of asteroid mining, returning for his 10th tour. In fact, every one of the crew signed on with the Mad Astra had at least 4 previous tours with the mining ship, everyone except himself and Arcadius Geiger. And KD looked like he was falling asleep. Show off. Ivan and his fellow crew members sat together, taking up 2 complete rows. He could see groups from several other ships, all wearing similar utility coveralls, also heading up in preparation for a 6-month mining tour. The coveralls, standard-issue items probably made by a single company, were identical, except for the ship insignia on the left breast. The Mad Astra crew wore a stylized image of a hand reaching for a star. Several clunks and a shudder ran through the shuttle, and Ivan renewed his death grip. He half expected to hear a squeal of bending metal from the chair's arms. A faint whiff of flop sweat assaulted his nostrils, and he realized he was again losing the battle with panic.
15 seconds,
the PA intoned. Ivan closed his eyes and tried deep breathing exercises again. Too late to back out now. Even if he unbuckled and ran screaming for the exit, the shuttle would launch on schedule with him plastered to the rear bulkhead. 3 months of training and simulations, which had felt like an adventure of its own, now seemed nothing more than wishful thinking. He was about to be shot into the air in a tin can with no say in his fate. Not even a view of space for the next 15 minutes.
"Relax, noob," said Davies. "We haven't lost a crew member in weeks."
The veteran miner grinned at Ivan, but the expression didn't reach his eyes. He looked more like a cat anticipating a meal than someone offering reassurance. Ivan opened his mouth to retort, but at that moment the sling kicked in. His body was pressed into his seat as the shuttle accelerated down the track. It would continue for the entire 5-kilometer stretch of the launch tunnel, air resistance reduced by massive pumps that pulled the air from in front of the shuttle and pumped it back in behind. The occasional moan floating up the aisle showed that he wasn't the only person having trouble. He tried to extract a small kernel of solace from that shared misery. Thankfully, this part of the takeoff was smooth. Nothing like the old space launches, perched on top of an explosive cylinder of fuel, being rattled so hard you felt your teeth would fall out through your ears. Ivan concentrated on his breathing and on not whimpering in fear. He hadn't been tagged with a nickname yet, and he sure as hell didn't want to provide the crew with that kind of material to work with. Certainly not before he'd even left atmosphere.
Does that sound interesting? It should, because getting into space was only the beginning. Ivan is prepared for hard work and loneliness, but not the unthinkable. After coming into contact with a mysterious alien substance, Pritchard finds an unwelcome entity sharing his mind and a disturbing physical transformation taking place. With his very humanity at stake, Pritchard must save mankind from full-scale interstellar war. The storyline is incredible. The author, Dennis E. Taylor, describes himself as a computer programmer by day, writer by night, and a snowboarder in season. With the phenomenal success of The Singularity Trap, he now devotes himself full-time to writing science fiction. Now, you can have his book today. Here's what Audible has set up for us. Audible is offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories, and you too can get your copy of The Singularity Trap today. Thank you, Audible. And now, it's time for your stories.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
We have but one story this week. Not from the lack of them, but from the lack of time. It comes from Adrian Tranholt, who lives in Maine. He has titled it, "Hey Lady, Would You Mind Not Counting My Steps?" So during the summer, I had to spend some time with my grandparents for a while. Mind you, their house is in a remote village, surrounded by a pretty dense forest. Overall, it looks sketchy. Anyway, I figured out it wouldn't harm me to spend some time there, so I went, unpacked my things, and started chilling. First day, no big deal. Second day, all good. Now, on the third day, it was a different matter. I had to get some things from the second floor for lunch. I started going up the stairs, and suddenly I heard a woman's voice, like a whisper, and I was not able to determine what it said. I just figured it was the wind or those kinds of echoes that sound inside your head sometimes. You get me? Anyway, I got the things and went down the stairs again. It began again, but a bit louder. I still couldn't make out what she said, but it chimed out each time I touched a stair. I was more suspicious, but even then, I just kept minding my own business. Night came, and it was time to go to bed, which is also on the second floor. I had completely forgotten about the sound until it started again. However, each time I took a step, an elderly voice would count them out, saying,
1, 2, 3, 4.
It freaked me out, and I sprinted the rest of the way up the stairs. With increased speed came an increased count.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
It was like it wanted me to run faster. I remember thinking, Hadrian, whatever the heck you do, don't look back. Advice I probably should have taken. I turned back, and floating there on the stairs was an old woman with craggly white hair and an evil grin on her face. I screamed out and fell to the floor. I crawled the rest of the way to my bedroom. My heart was beating out of my chest. Then I swear I heard her counting my heartbeats, which made me say a naughty word. It suddenly stopped. I rolled over on my back to face her, but nothing was there. The next day I told my grandparents about it, and they just laughed and said, "Hey, great story." The rest of my stay was anxious, but quiet. Adrian Tranholt, Maine. Adrian, this story sent chills down my spine. Truly amazing. Thank you for sharing it with us. I would love to know just where your grandparents' house is. Sounds like a good place to avoid. We all love a good story, but what we truly crave is a ghost story. It's time now for Ghost Stories with Sylvia. Sylvia Schultz is a librarian and author by day. But at night, she becomes a ghost hunter. Following a lifetime spent in the pursuit of the weird and the strange, her nonfiction works include Ghost of the Illinois River, Fractured Spirits, 44 Years in Darkness, Hunting Demons, and The Spirits of Christmas. We now cross over the veil and join Sylvia as she tells us more tales from the unknown.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
How'd you know it was me? We're on the phone.
Because I've got caller ID.
Caller ID? Is that new?
Yeah, it tells me who's calling, so if I don't want to talk to them, I just, you know, don't answer the phone. But I answered the phone for you because it's you.
Oh, I'm still trying to understand all this social distancing stuff, so bear with me.
Yeah, it's rough sometimes, but I've got the dogs, so they help out.
Yeah.
I don't have to social distance from my dogs.
Yeah, well, that's all we're going to talk about virus today, folks. I hope that gave you enough information because we got a lot to talk about. We have a full schedule of items.
We do, and it is going to be fantastic.
So I'm going to start us off this time with my brother Jim again.
Do tell. What does Jim have to say this time? Hi, Jim.
Well, so we were talking, you know how we do sometimes.
Right.
We were just talking about one of the stories that I had recently. And in fact, it was a story about a woman who was, or a girl, I can't remember, who was in her house. She had a ghost experience that kind of was flipping the lights on and off on her.
Uh-huh.
And after the event happened, her dog kept coming up and barking at the light switch.
Oh.
And so we got to talking, and he said, "Ron, I have a question for you to ask Sylvia." And that's where this came from.
Okay. So, Jim, what is the question?
Well, I thought we would do it a little bit different. Let's do it with some fanfare, shall we?
Let's do it.
We will do a new segment within the segment called Questions with Jim.
I love it.
Okay. Questions from my brother Jim. What is your view on pets / animals on being able to see into the spirit realm? Here's this dog barking at a light switch that moments before was being obviously flipped on and off by a ghost.
Well, Jim, that is a very good question. Do you want the science-y explanation, or do you want the touchy-feely explanation?
Well, if you're asking me, I want the science, but if I know my brother, he'll take the other.
Okay, so the science-y explanation would be that animals have a different vision system than we do. Animals see in a bigger part of the spectrum that we do. Dogs and cats both have an extra part of their eyeball, the part that makes the eyes shine in the dark. And if I remember my high school biology, and I think I do, that means that they can pick up a wider spectrum of light. And that when we see a shadow out of the corner of our eye, that's what we're almost picking up on, but our rods and our cones in our eyes aren't quite sensitive enough to pick that up, but theirs are. So it is very common to see dogs reacting to something like the light switch going up and down. And not just because of the movement, it's because he sees something else there. And I've seen countless videos on the internet of dogs reacting to something that the camera doesn't even pick up. So yeah, that is definitely something that is physically possible for a ghost or for a dog or a cat or even horses too, to see something that is either below the visible light spectrum for us or above it. When we go out ghost hunting, we use infrared cameras and cameras that will pick up other parts of the spectrum that our eyes can't. So we're kind of borrowing something from the animal world and being able to see a little more of that spectrum. So that's the science-y explanation of it.
I like that explanation.
The touchy-feely explanation is that it's the same reason that little kids are more apt to see spirits, because no one has told them that they can't. No one has told a dog, well, stop that. You're just making it up. You haven't really seen a ghost. Stop barking at that. Nobody tells dogs that. So they don't know that they're not supposed to be able to see ghosts. They just see something and they react to it. They bark. Or they follow something with their eyes and turn their head to watch something. Or they go up to an empty space of air and start wagging their tails as if they recognize somebody that they used to know.
That's a pretty good answer, Sylvia.
Thank you.
I can say that I've heard some of that. I knew that the dog and cat had a different spectrum of vision. And I never really tied it into ghost hunting equipment kind of mimicking nature. I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah, well, we try. The way the rods and cones in our eyes are set up, we have a higher concentration at the forefront of our eyes. And there are, I think there are the rods that pick up black and white and cones that pick up color. If I've got that straight from, again, from high school biology. If you have a card a piece of paper with a colored dot on it, and you put it behind your head and bring it forward in your peripheral vision, there will be a time, a point in time, where you can see the card without moving your eyes. In your peripheral vision, you'll be able to see the dot, but it'll be in black and white, and it won't be in color until it gets farther into your field of vision. So there are points in our peripheral vision where we only see black and white. And that is a very good explanation of why sometimes we catch shadow figures out of the corners of our eye. We can see that. We can see that, register that movement, but we can't tell what color it is. So it, our brain interprets it as a dark shadow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, Jim, I hope that answers your question. It answered it for me.
Good.
So I think thus ends Questions from Jim.
For this time.
And Jim, if you have more questions, please think of them, because I know Sylvia loves your questions.
I do.
All right. Well, moving right along, Sylvia, we have an email this week.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I know that you and I have talked about it a little bit, and I'm a little scared about reading it, and you're ready to just delve in and answer it. So, shall we read the email and see what you have to say about it?
Let's do.
All right. Well, the email comes from Jennifer Tyner. She lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, I know that's your neck of the woods. Ann Arbor is, I think, a pretty big town, isn't it?
Ann Arbor? Dude, I'm in Illinois.
Well, I know, but it, your neck of the woods, meaning middle of the country.
Oh, Midwest. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not really familiar with Michigan geography. I think Ann Arbor is kind of on the lake, on Lake Michigan, but I'm not for sure.
Well, so now we're not sure where Ann Arbor is, and I thought you were going to come to the rescue on me, and now my face is red.
But that's where Jennifer is, so it's a good place.
Well, Jennifer, I promise I will look up where Ann Arbor is, and I thank you for writing this in. Shall we read the email?
Let's do it.
Hello, Ron. First, let me say that your podcast is the best for this time of trouble. We're all trying to get away from today. I have a question for Sylvia, my favorite part of the show. I decided to take a quiet moment to try and contact my dad, who died 3 years ago. Sylvia talked about this not too long ago. I went into the backyard where we had a barbecue for his 90th birthday. He was just so happy that day that I thought if his spirit would be anywhere, it would be there. I sat quietly for a long time thinking about that day and remembering just what he meant to me. Nothing happened. What is my next step? Maybe he isn't reachable. Do I need something to do this? Jennifer Tyner from Ann Arbor, Michigan. A lovely place, I'm sure.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for this email. Let me say I'm sorry for your loss. I'm really glad you wrote in with this question. Full disclosure, Ron sent me the email before our show tonight so that I could give it some thought, and I'm really glad he did. Jennifer, I realized I wanted to give you the best answer I possibly could for this question because you absolutely deserve it, and maybe other people listening are in the same boat that you are. So I hope this helps you and everybody else with this. So I reached out to a very good friend of mine, Liz Nygaard, who is an extremely talented psychic medium. I trust her discernment and I trust her experience in matters like this. So I asked her, I said, this is the situation, what's going on? And she said that our loved ones are with us all the time. I really firmly believe that. Jennifer, you asked why. If he was so happy at that 90th birthday party, why wasn't he in the backyard? Well, the thing is that our loved ones are around us all the time, but they're also doing other things, especially if they're not earthbound. If they've crossed over to the other side, they can go back and forth. They're checking up on you, but they're not necessarily where you are at that moment. So Liz's advice was this, and I think it's brilliant. She said, let him know that you want to talk with him. Let him know that, hey, you had such a good time at that party. There's another party going on. I'd really like it if you'd show up to it. Write a note. Be very clear. Say, this is when we're having this party. You're invited. Please come to this party. And put the note in a place where your dad's likely to see it if he visits your house. Put it up on the refrigerator. Put it on the dining room table. But let him know that he's invited. And she said, give it a month. They're popping in and out. He may pop in on you when you're out at the store or something. You may not be there when he comes in to check on you. But leave this note out for a month and let him know that you would like to talk with him. And then when that date of the party comes along, go out in the backyard where the original party was and sit and talk with him. Say, I'm really glad you're here. Another suggestion that she had was get somebody else who loved him too. Sit there and talk with this person about how much you loved your dad. Share good memories about him and have a recorder going. When you're doing this, when you're having this conversation, get a recorder going and see what your dad has to chime in on the conversation. So that was her advice, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant because for those of us who can't see spirits, myself included,
and me,
we have no idea if they're around, if they're peeking in on us, or if they're just off doing their own thing. Anything's possible. So you don't know whether they're there or not. But if you extend the invitation, give him plenty of time to RSVP, if you want to think about it that way, and then just go to that place where you had such wonderful times, invite somebody else, and have a recorder going, and just have a conversation.
And then listen back and see if you get anything, huh?
Exactly.
Now, I know that when we talked about this before, you used the analogy of using music to enhance a session, something that meant something to that person, a song or something.
There
like
you go.
Do you think that if they're, and I'm just conjecture because we don't know, but maybe there was some music playing at that barbecue that could be running in the background?
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to use every tool we have at our disposal on this more solid side of the veil. Music helps. Music brings back memories.
And that may help enhance the situation, I would think. Now, again, not ever having even attempted anything like this. But knowing what I do know and what I've seen, that using those types of things to elicit a response, a good response, might be helpful. Anything else? Maybe even cooking a steak while you're there.
There you go.
So
fix his favorite food, say, write in the note, hey, we're going to be having your favorite potato salad at this get-together, so show up.
Yeah. I think that's a great answer. I agree with you. That's an exciting answer. And even if nothing happens, to me, you're still taking the time to reach out and touch that person. And I've always said, you know, my dad passed in 2008. And what the times I enjoy the most are when I take and think about the things that we did together. He was my little league coach. He was he was my fishing buddy at one point. I mean, there was a lot of things that we did together that I can remember. And and to me, that is visiting that person. Just sitting and closing your eyes and remembering that. And that is not paranormal. That is just visiting your memories. And we can do that whenever we want.
Yeah. And there was something else that that Liz told me was that they're around us all the time, and they definitely do live in our memories, but they're not hanging around. So if you don't call them, they won't know that you need them. And I've heard other psychic mediums say this as well. So it's not just Liz saying this, but if you ever do need help from your loved one who's passed or just want to hang out with them for a while, call them. Call them more than once. Use their name. Say, Dad, I'm trying to reach you. Dad, can you come and speak with me? Call them at least three times. Get their attention, because they're not going to, they're going to give you your privacy, right? So they're not just going to be hanging around all the time, but wherever they are, if you call them by name, they will hear you and they will come running. And I firmly believe that. And I have heard it from way more than just one person.
Wow.
So in addition to writing the note, call on your dad.
I think that's excellent. So yeah. Jennifer, I hoped we answered your question. It answered a question for me. I'm getting a lot of questions answered today.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you ever so much for your email. And it was a real pleasure for me to explore this myself with my friend Liz, and she was delighted to be able to help you. And I am just thrilled that you reached out to Ron's show and sent the email in. And I just really want to thank you for sending that in.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. That was an awesome question. All right, well, let's move on to what this is all about, and that is ghost stories with Sylvia. That's why we're here. So what we have this week is you're going to tell us about people who don't realize that they're actually talking to a dead person. This intrigues me.
Yeah, I love stories like this. You're just happily going on about your business, and out of the blue, you're having this paranormal experience, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
The first story is titled Conversation with a Ghost. And this actually happened in, I don't have a year for this, but it happened down in Hardin County, Illinois. And this kind of has resonance for me because my in-laws used to live in Pope County, Illinois. So it's real close to there. It's in Southern Illinois, and I'm really familiar with this area. So it's kind of fun for me to read this story or tell this story and picture the woods and the yards of Southern Illinois. So starts out, this fellow is talking about an experience his grandfather had. His grandfather was a fox hunter. Fox hunting required the use of some sort of hound, and these dogs need exercise between hunting trips. And the guy writes, Grandpa was very proud of his beagles, and he took good care of them, and he let them run whenever he had a chance. Southern Illinois is very wooded, unlike most of the rest of Illinois. So these dogs really enjoyed just running through the woods, chasing smells, and stretching their legs and practicing their tracking skills when they weren't on the job, so to speak. So the fellow writes, Grandpa kept his dogs in a pen near the garden at the farm in Shetlerville. Founded in 1866, Shetlerville was once a town with businesses and family homes. But by the 1940s and 50s, it had kind of become a ghost town. A lot of businesses closed, a lot of people moved away, and houses were just picked up and moved just down the road to Rosseclair. And I've driven through Rosseclair. I know exactly where this is, so it's kind of cool. Only a few houses remained in Shetlerville and some farms, and this fellow's grandparents lived on one of the farms. So he writes, on a warm evening, as was his practice, Grandpa went to the garden to let the dogs run. Whenever he ran the dogs, he would remain in the yard, just squatted down, listening to them as they sprinted through the woods, howling and barking at whatever scent they had happened to catch. So this guy's at the bottom of the garden, lets the dogs out of the pen. The dogs tear through the woods. They're just having a grand old time. The garden was fairly distant from the house, down past the barn. And Grandpa was alone as he listened to the dogs run. After he released the dogs and was kind of squatted down on his haunches, he heard someone walk up behind him. But he just remained where he was, facing the woods. Didn't have to turn around. Whatever, he's listening to his dogs. So he hears somebody ask, what you doing? Without turning around, he just said, well, I'm just letting my dogs run. For the next few minutes, they just chatted together about the dogs, the weather, things that the menfolk generally speak of. He continued to keep half an ear out for the dogs, just kind of paying attention to what they were doing. And he didn't want them to run too far and have to go out after them. But he was still having a conversation with the stranger. And after a moment of quiet, Grandpa was like, well, I wonder if this fellow's still there. So he stood up and he turned to face the guy who was talking to him. And he discovered he was completely alone. My mother and grandma were in another part of the yard hanging clothes on the line. They saw someone run into the house so fast they couldn't see who it was, the screen door slamming shut. Curious, they entered the house, only to find my grandpa sitting at the table, visibly shaken. And he wouldn't move from that spot for a very long time.
Wow. So it didn't dawn on him that he wasn't talking to a human being. He was talking to a ghost.
Not till he got up and turned around.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It was just a perfectly normal conversation.
And what was the Providence against? Where's that from?
That's from Southern Illinois, Hardin County.
Wow.
Rossiclare.
Huh.
Is the town.
Your hometown, or your home state anyway.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
I have driven through Rossiclare more times than I can count.
Huh. Did you see somebody talking to somebody that wasn't there?
I have the feeling this happened before I was born.
But oh, I bet it happens more than we think.
Yeah. There's one town in Southern Illinois, and we're chasing rabbits here, just like those beagles. But there's one town in Southern Illinois that I think it might be Rossiclare, but when you're driving through town, I mentioned that Southern Illinois is very hilly and it's rocky because the glaciers didn't come down that far. So there's a lot, there's Garden of the Gods, there's all sorts of natural rock formations there. And in one part of the highway, you're driving along and there's this rocky outcropping next to the highway, and it kind of undercuts, and there's a house built in under the rock. And I've always wanted to stop and get out and explore this house. Mm-hmm. It looks abandoned, but I've always like been with my husband driving or something, and he never wants to stop. But I've always wondered about that house and how old it was and how it came to be built under the shelter of this little rock overhang. Wow. Really neat stuff.
I'd like to see a picture of that sometime.
Yeah. I'll have to get on Google Maps and find it.
Well, Sylvia, you said we had two stories, so I'm assuming we have a second story.
Yes, I do. Now, this story came to us from England. This was published in the Lancaster Sunday News on August 20th, 1995. So it's a bit dated, but it references something that happened in the 1960s. There was a woman living in England. She was well-to-do. She was happy. She was nothing out of the ordinary. She was just this person living her life. She realized after a while that she was dreaming the same dream every night. She thought this is kind of weird. And in this dream, she saw this big, huge country mansion. And it was set in a very distinctive landscape. And she felt she would know this house anywhere if she saw it. If she ever ran across it in real life, not in dreams, she felt sure she would recognize it. But it wasn't something that was familiar to her. And she really wondered why she kept dreaming of this house so often. She had this dream nearly every night for a while. So one day, she and her husband went on a second honeymoon, and they were driving through Scotland. And they turned a corner on the road, and just as plain as day, she saw this house, this mansion that she'd been dreaming of. And she thought, I am not going to pass this opportunity up. So she made her husband stop the car, and they pulled into the driveway and drove up to the front door, and this woman got out and rang the doorbell. She's like, I have to find out what's going on. A man came to the door, answered the call of the doorbell, and she figured he was a caretaker or something. And he opened the door, and he just stood there staring at her with his mouth hanging open. And the woman is like, who is it that lives here? She's trying to get some information about the house. And the man replied that it had been empty for many years because the owners didn't want to live in it because of what they called the white lady. The owners thought it was haunted and just refused to live in it. And the woman said, "Oh, wow, that's interesting. So is the house haunted?" And the guy goes, "You should know. You're the ghost."
Oh, my word. Okay, you can't leave us there.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to give us something.
So, wow. Can you imagine being that guy opening the door?
I can.
And coming face to face with the white lady that's been haunting the house. And can you imagine being this woman dreaming about this house late after night and realizing, having someone tell her that she's the ghost that's been haunting the house? Oh. I just can't wrap my mind around this. This is such a funky story.
That is crazy. What bothers me about it is the dreaming, because here she dreamed all of this and then she goes to find out. So there's part of this story that hasn't been told yet.
What's that? That's all I have.
I know. That's why I reacted. I said, you got to give us something. She found out she dies later on and they buy the house and she ends up haunting the place. There has to be something that ties these two people together.
that gotcha ending is all that the magazine published.
Oh man, those guys are mean. They're rotten people. So there is no information as to some sort of tie that could help us understand what this all meant.
Nope.
This is not a paranormal story then.
I would call it paranormal. Paranormal just means out of the normal, beyond the normal, and out of the ordinary.
Yep.
I call it paranormal.
I have a different name for it.
What's that?
I call it a head scratcher.
There you go. I should have sent this in for your head scratcher segment.
There is no explanation for something like that. It is just the weird and undeniable.
Yeah.
Well, I got a chance to read your blog this week, and I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
What's your angle in all this?
I see what you did there.
Now explain to the people, because they won't.
Well, the reason Ron did a little bit of wordplay there is because the blog post that today I learned for this Monday was about deep sea anglerfish, those blobby creatures with all those sharp, nasty teeth. They have a very interesting biological fact. There are not very many anglerfish in the sea. So when a male finds a female, he basically gloms onto her and fuses with her body. So he's not going to let her go. You thought your boyfriend was clingy. That has nothing on a deep sea anglerfish. And the other interesting part of this is that a female will collect 5 or 6 males that are all part of her. You got to think, in the deep reaches of the ocean, if you find a mate, hang on to them. So, yeah, that's just one of those weird facts that I picked up. And I've always been a little bit frightened of anglerfish just because of all those teeth.
Yeah, and they're probably just for show anyway. So. At least we hope so.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to listen to your latest Lights Out.
Oh, thank you.
It's called The Patty House. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this one is loaded with a lot of pictures that go along with what you are tell us about. And I thought that was pretty, pretty great.
Well,
and
thank you.
You had pictures of the Pony Express and all the different rooms that are in this museum. I highly recommend the Patty House episode of Lights Out.
Well, thank you. That was an amazing place. I took picture after picture after picture, and it was just so much fun wandering around the place. You could spend an entire day there just looking. It's just crammed with all sorts of bizarre little exhibits and artifacts, and it's just tons of fun. I barely even scratched the surface with that episode, but I do hope people enjoy it because the Patty House Museum is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, the pictures that show some of the different things, including a little thing called Snoopy on a stagecoach. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to, it's kind of a spoiler, but I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yes, people will have to listen to the episode to find out why Snoopy's sitting in the stagecoach.
Do you have an upcoming Lights Out to tell us about?
I do. I spent the early afternoon at the Patty House Museum, and I spent the late afternoon that day in St. Joseph, Missouri, exploring the Glore Psychiatric Museum. That was a really wonderful place, and that actually is haunted. The morgue down in the basement is reputed to be haunted, so we'll explore it and find out.
And when is that one going to be available now? We're recording this on the 10th of April.
Right. It'll be out by the time this particular episode drops.
Okay. So by when you hear this, you'll be able to go right over and hear the... I'm going to say, this is an inside joke, folks, so you won't get this. The Glore Satirical Museum. Of course I meant psychiatric. Well, Sylvia, I think we've run out of time again.
Oh, this was so much fun.
This was a good one. I learned two things from the questions this week that I didn't know, and I think that's great.
I love it when that happens.
Yep. Knowledge is king. Well, Sylvia, I want to thank you again. It has been another pleasure. And until next time, I want to thank you for taking the time and being with us on the show today. You are a marvelous human being and a wonderful storyteller.
Well, thank you so much for always having me on. I enjoy answering questions and I enjoy sharing stories. And this is a real treat for me to come on the show every month.
And I will say one more time that if you have a question for Sylvia or you want to just tell her a story, please do. Like Jennifer did today, she not only asked a question, but she told us a story. And I think that that's amazing. And that's where we want to be with this segment.
Yes.
So thank you, Jennifer. And to Sylvia, I say good night.
Good night, Ron.
Ghost Stories with Sylvia is brought to you by Gladys Goodies. Great treats for your dog to eat. I always have a great time talking with Sylvia, and together we learn all kinds of new stuff. If you want to visit her on her own turf, head to sylviaschultz.wordpress.com. There you will find her blog and access to the podcast, Lights Out. The link is also available in the show notes. Thank you, Sylvia. Gladius goodies are great for dogs and cats alike. They are 100% natural and are a nutrient-rich treat that pets love to eat. You can get these and some really cool swag for your dog and cat at gladiusgoodies.com. And don't forget to use our promo code RONS, that's R-O-N-S, to get a 20% discount on all of your purchases. That website again is GladysGoodies.com. Thank you, Gladys. The date is May 15th, 1953, and this is A Moment in Time. When I found this one, I couldn't help but bring it to you. It shows the hard-hitting headlines of the day that just don't get into today's journalistic broadcasts. Or maybe they do. Let's listen into this headline edition.
Headline edition, Taylor Grant speaking, May 15th, 1953. The American Broadcasting Company presents Headline Edition with Taylor Grant.
In Washington, General Bradley's speech today was one of several interesting news developments dealing with our military defenses. Here's a summary by Gunner Back. We We seem to be unable to contact Washington at this time. Let's try once again. Our cue to Washington is, here is a summary by Gunner Back. Sorry, we seem to be unable, for some inexplicable reason, to contact correspondent Gunner Back in Washington, even as we have contacted him every night for the past 8 years. Well, the speech by General Bradley, as you may have heard, was before the Women's National Press Club, and it was one in which he told the assembled ladies that the United States must spend heavily on military readiness as far into the future as we can see at this time. Now then, to the nation's sports fans, the biggest news in quite a while is building tonight in Chicago, where world heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano is about to meet that challenge from ex-champ Jersey Joe Walcott. We sent correspondent Tom Casey to the weighing-in ceremonies today, and he recorded this report at that dramatic scene. Well, Mother told me there would be days like this. Shall we try once again for Chicago? Calling Tom Casey in Chicago. Our cue is this report at that dramatic scene. Some nights you can't make $1,000. Unfortunately, we had been told earlier today that Tom Casey had recorded a very fascinating report at the weighing-in ceremonies in which he had the voices of both Joe Walcott and Rocky Marciano. Don't know how the betting is going right at the moment. Don't know as we should report it if we did know. Matter of fact, having a piece of coffee about the fight tonight, except that we know it's going to be a very interesting one and exciting one, just as it was the last time they met. The weigh-in ceremonies took place at the Chicago Stadium, and that's where correspondent Casey had prepared for us that excellent report, which you and I have been unable to hear at this time. Let's see what else we have in the news to talk about this evening on a memorable headline edition, at least to me. Suppose we come back to you in just a moment or two. On this cue, I'll be back in a minute with more news.
Headline Edition is one of over 60 top ABC news shows brought to you each week by a distinguished staff of reporters, analysts, and commentators. ABC specializes in swift, accurate, and complete reporting of the latest happenings here and abroad. That kind of news coverage doesn't just happen. A trained newsman fills in the coloring that makes... A trained newsman fills in the coloring that brings the event to life, but it takes an experienced correspondent to know how that event fits the overall news pattern. For penetrating analyses, stay tuned throughout the day and night to ABC. Now, here again is Taylor Grant and Headline Edition.
With portions transcribed, what portions? That's today's Headline Edition.
I'm still cracking up over this outtake. It really wasn't an outtake at all. This was the report from May 15th of 1953, and it is real. I loved it when the guy starts to read the ABC News Doctrine. You just can't make this stuff up. I hope that you enjoyed it as well. The things I find researching for the show, I absolutely love it. This has been A Moment in Time. There it is, episode number 432. My thanks to Adrian Tranholt and Sylvia Schultz for being part of the program today. You guys were great. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, just head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you will find an amazing number of links that should fit every need. Do you want to help the show? The best thing you can do is to tell your friends all about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. This helps us to grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.